Good morning, everyone. These are the notices, not very many today. Just to let you know that the iftar to which we had been invited this evening has been cancelled. Just one pastoral notice. Myrtle Austin is home again, having been in Kingston Hospital with... What do I do? Okay. Can you hear me? I'm so sorry, I'll start again. The iftar to which we have been invited this evening has been cancelled. Myrtle Austin is home again, having been in hospital with pneumonia this week. But she's fine. I spoke to her last night. Next Sunday, after the combined service, there will be a bring and share lunch. Everyone is welcome. Thank you. Oh, Leslie.
I have to tell you that Sally has had an operation. She had it last Thursday. She is expected to be off work very possibly for 4 weeks. She might need some ongoing treatment. The other thing to tell you is that she is rather bored talking about all of this. So when you see her next, please don't do this. Because of that, we need a specialist cover for some bits of work, which we're organising, but we also need cover for parents and toddlers on the 17th and the 24th. We need help with the setup for stay and play, and all hands to the pump, please, for Messy Church, which is on the 23rd of June. If you can help, look, clipboard, pen, I'll leave these at the front. Thank you. Let us join together to worship God and hear these words from the psalmist. The Lord is King, earth be glad. Rejoice, you islands of the seas. All you that are righteous, be glad because of what the Lord has done. Remember what the holy God has done and give thanks to God. We join together to sing. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing the first two and the last two verses.
Thank you. The Lord is King. Earth be glad. Rejoice, you islands of the seas. Clouds and darkness surround God. God rules with righteousness and justice. Fire goes in front of God and burns up God's enemies around God. God's lightning lights up the earth. The earth sees it and trembles. The hills melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim God's righteousness, and all the nations see God's glory. Everyone who worships idols is put to shame. All the gods bow down before the Lord. The people of Zion are glad. The cities of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. The Lord Almighty, you are ruler of all the earth. You are much greater than all the gods. The Lord loves those who hate evil. God protects the lives of God's people. God rescues them from the power of the wicked. Light shines on the righteous and gladness on the good. All you that are righteous, be glad because of what the Lord has done. Remember what the Holy God has done and give thanks to God. Have a seat. We join to pray. Let us pray. The Lord reigns. Let earth rejoice. Let the storm declare in power the energy of creation, active and awesome, a sign of God's glory. Let each morning proclaim with gladness the splendors of the day, for these are a gift of God laid open in light and love. Let the nations open their ears and hearts in honor and trust. The majesty of God, who is righteous and real. Let God's people give praise in confidence and joy for the strength of God, who is generous and glad. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. But Lord, we confess that often, in the way that we live every day, we do not believe that you reign. We are quick to complain, and easily we shake a fist at you and wonder. Forgive us and release us from all that holds us back from trusting you. Let God's people give praise in confidence and joy for the strength of God, who is generous and glad. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Hallelujah. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How many people have a favourite colour? I'm not going to ask you what it is, but do you have one colour that you particularly like? Not many people. People got very, very broad ideas. But colours can make such a difference to how we feel. How would a nice bright colour like that make you feel? What do you think, Esther? It's almost like your cardigan.
Happy.
I think it would make people feel very happy. What about this one? A blue velvet. Sorry? Grand. Yes, velvet is grand. And blue is my favourite colour. Then we've got a nice... What does that make you think of? The yellow. Sorry? Fresh, sunny, happy. I hope so. Now, what about this? I thought of asking Leslie for hers, but I got Tony's instead. What about black? What does black make you feel? Gloomy. Yes, definitely. Any other adjectives? Formal. Yes. Does it ever make you feel scared? Or what would happen if you got trapped in something dark and black like that? How would you feel? I'm going to be really mean. Can I put this over you? How do you feel in there?
Scary.
Scary, yes. Is it very, very dark? If I said you had to stay there all day, how would you feel?
Lonely.
Lonely, yes. Sorry? We'd have to call the police, definitely. Thank you very much for being patient. People talk about having dark days when they feel scared, perhaps, or miserable, or lonely, bored, tired, all sorts of things. But there are ways of getting round it for most people. And we're going to hear a story today about two of Jesus' followers who were in a very dark place until something amazing happened. And we're now going to sing hymn 572, Colours of Day.
See you later. The reading from Acts is not the first time that the apostles have had to confront the power of magic. Paul and Silas are well and truly locked up, which only heightens the drama of the subsequent release. Earthquake is a sign of divine intervention. Wilhelmina Bryan will read this passage to us.
One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a young servant woman who had an evil spirit that enabled her to predict the future. She earned a lot of money for her owners by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God. They announce to you how you can be saved." She did this for many days until Paul became so upset that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I order you to come out of her." And the spirit went out of her that very moment. When her owners realized that their chance of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the authorities in the public square. They brought them there before the Roman official and said, "These men are Jews, and they are causing trouble in our city. They are teaching customs that are against our law. We are Roman citizens, and we cannot accept these customs or practice them." And the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. Then the officials tore the clothes of Paul and Silas and ordered them to be whipped. After a severe beating, they were thrown into jail, and the jailer was ordered to lock them up tight. Upon receiving this order, the jailer threw them into the inner cell and fastened their feet between heavy blocks of wood. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake which shook the prison to its foundations. At once, all the doors opened, and the chains fell off all the prisoners. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors opened, he thought that the prisoners had escaped. So he pulled out his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul shouted at the top of his voice, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for a light, rushed in, and fell trembling at the feet of Paul and Silas. Then he led them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your family." Then they preached the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that very hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and he and all his family were baptized at once. Then he took Paul and Silas up into his house and gave them some food to eat. He and his family were filled with joy because they now believed in God.
Thank you. So continuing this long sermon that we've been having pieces from for weeks, after praying for the disciples that are with him, Jesus turns his attention to the disciples who are yet to come and prays for unity, a unity that is both heavenly and earthly. Maddie Anelzark will read this passage to us.
This reading comes from John 17 and starts at verse 20. "I pray not only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of their message. I pray that they may all be one, Father. May they be in us, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they be one, so that the world will believe that you sent me. I gave them the same glory you gave me, so that they may be one, just as you and I are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be completely one, in order that the world may know that you sent me, and that you love them as you love me. Father, you have given them to me, and I want them to be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, the glory you gave me. For you loved me before the world was made. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you sent me. I made you known to them, and I will continue to do so, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and so that I also may be in them. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Open our ears and our hearts, Lord Jesus, to hear you. And open my mouth to preach your word. Lord, we pray. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a message of salvation and also a message of liberation. What does it mean to be free? What are our chains? What are the chains that each one of us has? And could we let him set us free from them? Could we do that? So here are three, maybe more, stories about breaking free from these two passages. So firstly, obviously, free from prison. Paul and Silas are imprisoned because of what they believe, like many people around the world are today. Imprisoned for spreading their faith, but there is another freedom in this story, surely. Even when they could leave their cell, they choose not to leave it. They stay in their cell. So the story is told of a wise man who, on his travels, finds a jewel and takes the jewel, puts it in his pocket, and goes on with his life. And as he's getting on with his life, somebody, some traveler, comes up to him and says, "I've been searching all my life for this amazing jewel, and I believe that you have it." And he opens his bag and says, "Yes, I have. Here it is." And the astonished traveller takes the jewel and leaves. And later, he comes back to find the wise man and ask him. To ask him about the freedom that he has to hand over so lightly such a jewel and to learn about that. There are many people who are locked in a cell about money. And they're not necessarily the poorest. And I would invite you to remind yourselves about how much of the teaching of Jesus was a warning to us about the danger of money. So, what would freedom from that cell look like? How would life be? So next, the slave girl is doubly imprisoned. She's imprisoned because she's a slave. That's a prison. And she's also imprisoned because people are addicted to knowing the future and they exploit her. But be free, people. Be free, people. For today is God's gift to us, and our challenge is to live this day well. And to know that God will be the God who travels with us into our unknown and unknowable future. And maybe, maybe for some of us, part of that future will be to work with and for those who are slaves still in our world, including in Britain today. So thirdly, from these stories, there is the freedom from competition in terms of relationships between Christians. We are not in a hierarchy and we are not in a competition, and we do not believe that this church is the best church in Kingston. And if it was the best church in Kingston, I just want to tell you, we wouldn't let you in. Wouldn't let me in either. Because we would sully it in all its perfection with our inadequacies and failures and prejudices and foolishness. Jesus calls his people to be one as God, Creator, Son, and Spirit are one. We're on the same team. We might do things in different ways, but we are called to understand that we are one. So Jesus makes his prayer at the table. And he knows that Peter will deny him. He's already said so. And Judas, he knows what Judas is going to do. Judas has already left the building. And he does not say this prayer for unity in some sort of ignorant naivety. It is a heartfelt prayer. And he says it because they are not one. They are not one. And he calls them to be one. And he calls us to be one. To be focused on him, not on self. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is a message of salvation and a message of liberation. What are our chains? And the call is to come to this table and receive. Come to this table and be free from the need to do it all. Come to this table and look. Be set free from the perceptions of the world. How can these pathetic cubes of bread and hideous wine be of any eternal value? Come to this table and wonder. Be free from the superficiality that says it must all make sense at first sight. Come and experience the mystery. And come to this table with others and be set free from your loneliness. And come to this table and know that you are welcome and free of any need to fit in. For here, there is room for each one of us to belong. Let us be still together. So Sally has asked us to pray for her. We will pray for her in our prayers of intercession, and I invite you to continue that discipline when you leave this place. So now, let us pray. Come, Lord Jesus, into situations of imprisonment in our world today. For those who are imprisoned against their will, exploited and abused. For those imprisoned by special needs that the world doesn't understand or have time for. For those imprisoned by the darkness of depression and anxiety. for those imprisoned by addictions, for those imprisoned by money, for those imprisoned by illness. And we pray for Sally. For her healing and for the healing of others that we know and love. For those imprisoned by fear. Come, Lord Jesus, and set your people free. Come, Lord Jesus, and set us free. In your name we pray. Amen. Our gifts are to be brought, as has been the history of God's people, so our offering will now be received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, help us to be brave enough to offer our best. In your name we pray. Amen. We join together to sing, "Let us break bread together in the Lord." gathered round a table is where Jesus often met people. The table of Matthew, or the table of Zacchaeus, the table of Simon, the table of Peter, the table of Lazarus, of Martha and Mary, the table of Joanna and Susanna. Gathered around the table is where he would see people face to face, listen to their stories, share their tears and laughter. And here we are gathered at this table, because this is where Jesus has promised to be, to meet with those who would follow him. So accept his invitation. Feel welcome at this table. It is Jesus Christ who here offers us a foretaste of eternal life. What we do here, we do because it is Jesus' will. For he it was who once in an upstairs room at a meal with his disciples and took bread, and when he had blessed it, he broke it and said to his disciples, "This is my body, it is given for you. Do this to remember me." Later in the meal, he took a cup of wine, and after he had given thanks, he said, "In this cup is the new relationship with God made possible because of my death. Drink it, all of you, to remember me." So we will do as Jesus did. Let us pray. As you, Lord Jesus, gave thanks, so we offer our prayers of thanks. For you are the one from whom we come, and you are the one to whom we will return. You conceived the universe and wove the world together and hold all life in your hand. And you watch us, waking or sleeping. You keep every tear that we shed, and you hear every prayer that we make. You know our best and you know our worst, and you will not let us go. So with rain and wind and sunshine, and with all that moves in time with its maker, we praise you. With angels and archangels, with the saints that we have known and the saints from long ago, with those that we've loved who are gathered around your heavenly table, we will praise you. With the church throughout the world, the Orthodox and the Lutherans, the Catholics, the Reformed, the house churches, the new frontiers, the Baptists, the Methodists, we will praise you. For Jesus, born among us incognito, who walked the way to heaven, who told the deepest truths in ordinary language, who touched and healed, blessed and disturbed, we will praise you. Blessed is he in all his love and beauty. Lord, open our eyes and our minds and our hearts to receive you through this bread and this wine. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts, and may they remind us that you are God who is at work in the extraordinary and also in the mundane and everyday. Thanks be to you, our God. Amen. Took bread, blessed it, broke it, "This is my body," he said. "It is broken for you." He took the cup. Wine poured out. "This is my blood," he said. "It is shed for you. Come to this table, for the Lord invites us here." The body of Christ.